And as we come to this passage in Ephesians, I would like for you to turn with me to verse 21 through 33. And specifically, the Apostle Paul begins with the marriage relationship, the marriage relationship being essential. And in at the heart of this passage. And so as we think on our relationships today, may the Lord speak to our hearts. Hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22. We'll begin with verse 21 because I think that verse 21 is the cap verse for the leading into these relationships. Notice verse 21. It says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And then he goes into the first sets of relationships, the most fundamental between wives and husbands, the marriage relationship. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for us, just as Christ also does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you must love his wife as he loves himself. The wife must respect her husband." And may God then add this blessing to this reading of his holy and precious word of God. The book of Ephesians is one of those books that is concise, and it is simple and to the point. It is framed simply in this way in two parts. It is framed in the first several chapters, Paul's tremendous declaration about the wonder and the glory and the sufficiency of Christ to save. It is a wonderful picture of knowing Christ and the beauty of redemption. It is expressed in marvelous ways who Christ is and what he's done. And I encourage you to look carefully at those first chapters in Ephesians and see how Paul is laying that foundation that there is salvation in no other than Christ. And he is quite sufficient to save those who are his. The second part of the book of Ephesians, you find and discover that Paul takes the glory of that gospel and those to whom it applies, and those who have been called in Christ to live for him, to be his children. The Apostle Paul then begins to take that second part of the book, and he begins to talk about how living for Christ is defined and worked out in relationships. Of course, this Mother's Day, we think about one of the most fundamental of relationships that we have, and that is children to their parents. But I thought that on this Mother's Day that it might be good for us to talk about the most fundamental of those relationships, and that is the marriage institution. As Paul begins here, he begins in verse 21 of this chapter and says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And I would put it this way, in the light of what Christ has done for you and the way that he has saved you by his grace and that life to which he has called you into, therefore, just as you've submitted to Christ and you now live for Him and you belong to Him, submit yourselves one to another. You see the relationship, almost the Ten Commandments, the relationship to God. What's the second part of the Ten Commandments? Our relationship with each other. And He says, therefore, submit to one another in the love of Christ. And He's calling us, almost saying that if we are in Christ, if we belong to the Lord and have come to a knowledge of Christ and we belong to Him, that it is naturally going to affect what? If we know Christ truly. That it's going to naturally, supernaturally, if you will, by the Spirit of God, affect our relationships. That's almost the conclusion that Paul is drawing you to as he comes to the latter part of his book. He actually, another way to describe this second section is what it means to live in the Spirit. What does it mean to live a Spirit-filled life every day for Christ? This is the second. In the light of Christ, this is the Spirit-filled life in our relationships. And then as he unfolds that, you begin to see right in the middle of this, after he commends us to a Spirit-filled life, he begins to define those relationships. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And then he goes and says in the next chapter, children, obey your parents. Mama's Day, listen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then, of course, the relationship of servants, employees, if you will, to their masters or to those to whom they're accountable. He doesn't leave any of those relationships unfolded. And you know how he concludes the book. He concludes the book with warning them in the light of this. Right between this is at the end, he warns them about the spiritual warfare. Remember, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness and the rulers of the air. He warns us, and I'll tell you why I think that Paul ends the book that way. And I hope I can apply it to the life that we're living today and some of the challenges that we're facing in our own culture today as we see marriage relationship deteriorate and other relationships deteriorate in the light of many of the focuses that we find in the day. Well, let's talk about the marriage relationship as Paul has come now to encourage them. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body of which is the Savior. Now, as Christ, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present to her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Don't you love the reciprocal dynamic of the Christian relationship here? That in Christ, we're not called to be, in one sense, one over the other, in some sense of the word. But notice the beauty of the reciprocalness is what I want you to see. I like what one wife said. She said, I don't find it difficult to submit oftentimes to my husband because I know that he has my best interest at heart spiritually. My dear friends, where there's a reciprocal understanding of what God has called us to in our relationships, as the husband being the head of his home and leading his home in that way, the wife that truly honors that and the man who is truly a man of God will love his wife as the Scriptures command. And wives then will want to submit to their husbands. But I wish it was that ideal. It is not that ideal. Because even as sinners saved by grace, how do two sinners saved by the grace of God love each other and care for each other in this way? That's the real challenge, isn't it? And it is not without God's help. And it is not impossible. We should take the Scriptures seriously, that this is not optional. When we begin to talk about marriage, this is not optional. This is the command of the Lord. It is not a matter of my opinion. It is not a matter of anyone else's opinion about marriage. It is God's definition of marriage. And I think that that's where I want to begin talking about the subject of marriage. There's much discussion in our culture today about marriage. And I want you to know that the whole subject of marriage itself is not a matter of the Congress of the United States of America. It is not up to the General Assembly of the state of North Carolina. The definition of marriage and the reality of marriage is ordained by God Himself. So that's where we begin perfectly clear as Christians. It is not a matter of my cultural preference. It is not a matter of my personal opinion. When we as Christians come to talk about the dynamic of marriage, we do so in the context of the gospel of Christ and within the context of the Word of God as it has been laid down to us by God. We just simply believe that this is what God has said about the nature of marriage, and this is eternal and absolute. And I would just simply say to you that as our culture, where it is moving today, I want you to know that to violate God's command for marriage, there are great consequences. First of all, that it is sin against God. So I want you to be able to identify where your definition of marriage comes from. It comes from Scripture and from Scripture alone. And that's where you as Christians should ground yourself in these days. You should ground yourself in the Word of God, because what you're coming down to in our culture today is it's either going to be what the culture says or what the Word of God says. I think you're going to be hard-pressed in the future as Christians who hold to the Word of God as the foundation and the final word with regard to marriage. I think that you will be hard-pressed in the future. I don't come to this sermon unrealistic about where our culture is and where it has been going. Not where it is going, but where it has been going for this last couple of three generations up until now. But I tell you another thing, it has accelerated the opposition to the fundamental view of Scripture and of God. Let's make it perfectly clear. God's view of marriage in the Bible is being challenged evermore as it never has been before. I remember 20 years ago, I would preach sermons about the woes of divorce among married people. I would speak about the issue of the deterioration of family relationships. But now we're talking about almost a different ballgame. We're talking now about the very fundamental and foundational definition of marriage itself. And I would just simply say to you that I don't believe a government has the right to change the definition of marriage. But will I say something to you, and don't be offended by it? Under the Constitution of the United States, a person has what? They have the right under the law to do what? To live any way they want to, within the bounds of the law. True? Is that true or false under the Constitution of the United States of America? So when it happens, my friends, when it happens, don't be surprised. Is it contrary to the Word of God? Is it contrary to the Word of God? Yes. Does our political system have a right to make those definitions? No. They exceed their boundary of political influence. They go beyond what God has given them to do. Who defines family? Who defines marriage? Congress? Who died and made them God? And I don't want to be unkind about that. But you see, it is about power. It is about power, it is about influence, and it is about who's going to make the decision. And it's going to be a matter not whether you have a choice. See, what you're going to have to work out as a Christian these days in believing the fundamentals of Scripture about the foundation of marriage and the family, what you're going to have to do is live within the context of the Word of God and with the framework of Jesus Christ as Christians, at the same time living in a generation that has moved on beyond that liberally to allow relationships of all kinds. And the only argument that I would argue, I like this issue of same-sex marriage was argued before the Supreme Court just recently. And I like in defense of marriage, the one lawyer stood up opposing it, and he said, "Listen, the definition of marriage between one man and one woman has existed for centuries, and it is only up into the last two or three generations that it has been challenged." And he said, "What do you think? Where do you think I'm going to fall? Am I going to fall through the years and centuries of the definition of marriage according to God has given it? Or am I going to go along with these last two or three generations that want to change the definition of family and marriage? I don't think I'm going to go along with this last few generations. I'm sorry. And I think that you're going to have to come to a conclusion. All of you here are going to have to come to a conclusion of where you stand on that matter. Because you're going to be forced to. You're going to be forced to. You won't have an option. You will, in one sense, but you'll have to make your determination. You'll have to make your stand. And it's going to be interesting to see where people fall. And the scary thing about this whole thing is that where this is going to is, as Christians, we recognize that the family is what? Marriage, the family, is the most fundamental of the institutions that God ordained in the garden. It was fundamental. It was basic. That was where God started. And no wonder that marriage is being attacked today spiritually, because Satan is so very subtle, because the most fundamental relationship of God's design was the marriage relationship between Adam and Eve. There was Adam. You remember the story in Scripture. Adam, he was in the garden. It was all good, right? All good. There was one thing that was not good, right? One thing was not good. It was not good for the man to be alone. So God created what? A helpmeet suitable for him, and brought her to him, and the relationship was established, the first marriage. There it was. And God designed it. God ordered it. And did it fit? Let me ask you the question. Did it naturally fit? Yes, it naturally fit. Matter of fact, husband and wife are complementary of each other, both physically and every other way. They're complementary to each other. Isn't that not true? As created beings, are we not complementary of one another by God's design? And so now, dear friends, we're wanting to tamper with the most basic and fundamental relationships that God has ordained on this earth. And I'm going to tell you this. You go tampering with it if you want to. But if you tamper with God's design and you want to go your own way with regard to that design, there will be consequences, because it is sin against God. And if it is sin against God, my dear friends, not me. It's sin against God. And if it's sin against God, I'll tell you the second aspect of that. There are dire consequences for us to go our own way, to form our own definitions, to live the way we think that we want to live without consequences. You see, that's been the problem with our generation to begin with, is that we've wanted to live our own way and we want to think that there are no consequences. But there will be dire consequences. Why? Because, dear friends, not only is the marriage relationship the most foundational and elementary and fundamental and basic of the institutions that God established on the earth, but arising out of that marriage relationship, there are the most fundamental areas of the rest of life. Education. The most foundational responsibility for education rises out of the home. And so our understanding of education in a family is in the home. Israel was called. When you sit in your house and when you stand up, teach the ways of God. Deuteronomy. The most fundamental relationships of social relationships are learned within the context of the family. the most fundamental of health issues are learned within the context of the family. And what I want to say to you, the most fundamental political relationships are learned within the context and the beginning point of the family. And what's the consequence if we change the definition of the family and marriage? What's the fundamental problem? If you change the definition and the consequences with regard to marriage and the family, the rest of our institutions of culture will be affected. All of the other institutions of your life, education, social, health, all the other, it's like a domino. Boom, 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 boom. And I think that that's why you find in Scripture, in this particular context, Paul warning us about the family and the importance of it. Paul begins right at the consequence of knowing Christ, and he says what? Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. It didn't say to every man. It says, wives, be submissive to who? To your own husbands. Respect him. Honor him. Work with him. You were created as a helpmate, not to be an opposer. You don't go into a marriage relationship with putting your boxing gloves on. I'm a male. I'm a female. I've got the garage out here. You don't like it? Put the gloves on, son. Get out here in the ring and I'll knock your block off. Marriage, you wouldn't believe it, but a lot of marriages are like that. They see it as an opposition. God didn't create you and put you with your wife or husband for opposition. He put you together to complement each other. That's how He made you, male and female. He made you to complement one another and to support one another and to love one another. You know, my father left us when I was 5 and he was an alcoholic. And I don't want to get into all that, but I just want to say this. I told my mother one day, I said, Mom, you lived so long and you raised us by yourself. You deserve to be loved. And I'm sorry that he didn't do it. That's what, you know what she says? She says, Christ has been my husband. Christ has been my husband. Honey, don't you worry about it. But my dear friends, it's a shame when we as husbands and wives, we don't understand God calling us together and complimenting us. And I'll tell you another thing about the relationship that we're going through in culture today, of redefining all of these relationships. As we redefine all of these relationships, those who oppose the biblical view of marriage as God has given it have to substitute the natural realities of family and marriage, have to substitute it with something that is fundamentally superficial or artificial. In other words, there has to be some other design. There has to be some way. If you have two females, if you have two males together, it's like Dr. Kennedy said, that's only going to survive what? One generation. How do you have children? Well, you adopt. Pastor Barnes, you're just behind the times. You can adopt and you can be a family and you can. But it's artificial. We can artificially inseminate and do all kinds of other things. But notice, what is it? It's having to force the issue through some superficial or some unnatural way or some other way in order to accomplish what already God has made. And He's already made good. Now you tell me if that's true or false. And I'll say this to you. I know it's not a comfortable sermon. But it's fundamentally important, isn't it? And God forgive the minister that doesn't stand the ground. Because we're at the back door now. We're not talking about playing a game with the gospel and being nice and evangelistic. My dear friends, we're talking about the most fundamental and basic way of life in the gospel. Period. There's nowhere else to go but up. But it's like Dr. Francis Schaeffer said, that as we deal with these issues and our culture continues to move toward more an open view of marriage and of relationships and all of these types of things, that fundamentally, if we're not careful as the church, it will get worse and worse, because as we've dealt with now abortion, as far as the issue of life, that's most basic. You can't get any more basic than that, can you? Can't get any more basic than life. In the womb, pow. That's it. Can't get any more fundamental than that. And of course, the next thing will be the taking of the life of our elderly. That's already in discussion. You know, you have a right to die. And if you're no longer productive in culture and in society, it's best for you to do what? You better hope that the government doesn't get into power. And a government panel, wouldn't you like to see a government panel in Washington, D.C. make a decision on your life? Wouldn't that be great? That'd be wonderful. Oh boy, I'm just being facetious. Don't take me serious. And I'm just trying to communicate to you how serious it is. We're in a day and time, and on this Mother's Day, for the very things that we're treasuring in this tradition of honoring Mother's Day, dear friends, are in great jeopardy. They're in great moral jeopardy. The things that we hold cherished and hold precious. And we've got to pray. We've got to be serious about it. See, the danger for us is to become indifferent and just let the machine continue to work and go forward. Sooner or later, we will have to take a stand. And you'll be challenged at somewhere along the line. Well, what do you think about all this? And you'll have to take a stand. Or you'll just be a Christian trying to sit on the fence. Right? Sure. Sometimes I guess it's easy to try to sit on the fence. But I want you to know that the dividing lines have already been marked morally. The dividing lines have already been marked morally. So as we move into this day and time, there is great opposition to the biblical foundation for marriage as it's understood in Scripture. But I want you to know again, fundamentally the message. It is fundamentally not an attack upon the church. It is fundamentally not an attack upon you personally. I don't have to stand up here and defend God. I really don't. God doesn't need me to defend Him, does He? Matter of fact, I tell you, that as far as the consequences, God can right defend Himself. And He may very well soon. Because it's asking moral judgment upon us. And I want to read a little section to you. Listen to this one writer by Walter Mayer. He says, because marriage comes from God above and not from man or beast below, it involves moral, not merely physical, problems. A sin against the commandment of purity is a sin against God, not merely the outraging of convention, the thoughtlessness of youth, the evidence of bad taste. The Savior tells us that when God's children are joined together in wedlock, they are united by God. And beneath the evident strength and courage and loving that divine direction promised, that is a penetrating, ominous warning. Those who tamper with God's institution of marriage have lighted the fuse to the explosiveness of the retribution justice of God. Marriage is so holy that of all the social sins, its violation invokes the most appalling consequences from God. Throughout history, red blotches of warning mark the final record of devastated nations that forgot the divine origin of marriage and its holiness. I think Mark hit the nail on the head, don't you? I don't think he was very far from where we are right now. Right here today, now. The opposition that you face with regard to marriage is one that is dynamic. It is. Some people say that it is a. We talked a little bit about the political decisions being made with regard to marriage and the family, and that train has already left the station. Right? Will you agree that that train has already left the station? Those decisions are already pretty much, I think, decided pretty much. As far as our nation and our culture is concerned, I think that it's been determined already. We can say that the problem is politics. We could say the problem is people's interest in their own self-gratification. We could say that the opposition comes from a culture that is now living differently. We can put the opposition at all points, and I would agree with you that they're coming from all different points of view. But I think fundamentally, the attack upon the family today is demonic and from Satan. I want to say that perfectly clear in the message. I think that the fundamental attack upon the family today is from Satan himself. It happened in the garden. I have precedent in Scripture to prove that. It was so in the garden, wasn't it? The serpent took Eve aside and separated her and distorted things. And my friends, I've never seen such distortions today with regard to family and marriage as I've never seen before. As a matter of fact, I like what one person who advocated our culture and what culture was doing as kind of a unisex type idea of marriage and family today with no distinctions. We want perfect right, no distinctions. That's not even realistic. We are distinct. God made us that way. He made us to complement each other. He made us with certain roles and fundamental relationships, dear friends. And doesn't Satan know that if he can attack the most fundamental of the relationships in culture that God has designed, that he's already got the rest of the dominoes, doesn't he? If he wins in the family, if he wins here, where does he win? Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. He just started at the source. I believe it is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the forces of darkness and evil places. Friends, I believe that that's where it originates from. And I believe that you're in that battle. You are a part of that moral battle today. Well, Pastor, that's scary. The family is under attack most fundamentally. And so, therefore, what do we do? My dear friends, just simply listen to the Word of God. And I know that our culture doesn't want to hear this. I've had many a young lady come to me and said, well, listen, we're getting married. And I'll say everything in those vows except this. I will not submit to him. I had one lady tell me, she said, I'll say I'll submit to him if he'll say he'll submit to me. And I wanted to say, honey, honey, you just don't know God. You just don't know the Lord. I'm sorry. You bought into the culture. And that's the scary thing, is that the problem with this attack upon the family and upon marriage today is now becoming pervasive in the church. Isn't it? Many churches are changing their constitutional statements apostolically through the years. They're changing their definitions of family through the church. What happens if the church throws away the biblical doctrine of the family and of marriage? I tell you this, we then have taken the side of the evil one and we are no more the church. Now listen carefully. You may have your steeple, and you may have your stained glass, and you may have your pretty pulpit, and you may have an eloquent preacher, but you are no longer the Church of Jesus Christ. Because you can take the form, but there's a heart to this form too. And that form is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I feel sorry for those churches who still have the form, but that have thrown the gospel out. Makes me really sad, but it scares me too, because that means what? Satan has got another entry where? Another entry through the door. In another institution. More critical. Not just in the culture, but now within the context of the church. Well, Pastor, what do we do? What in the world do? Well, you take it seriously and you pray. You ought to pray as never before. And please don't think that God is sitting up in heaven saying, oh, what am I going to do? You know, those people down there are living with each other. And, oh, you know, there's immorality. And, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you something about God. His grace is sufficient in His Son, Jesus Christ, to all those who repent. My dear friends, do not underestimate His justice. And do not underestimate His ability. I found this to be true. When I've tried to sin against God, and I want to say about our sins, we can take generally sin lightly. We can talk about the sins in our culture against marriage and the family today. But there are other sins that we can talk about of immorality and things, don't we? And we make them respectable. No, adultery is not respectable. Fornication is not respectable. It is sin against God, just as this is sin and that is sin in our culture today. And we've just almost abandoned every boundary. Just abandoned every boundary. And my dear friends, I just with the utmost urgency as a minister of the gospel, encourage you to be mindful of the Lord, that He is there and He is not silent, and He knows our life. He knows where we are morally. And I just pray that you will, Pastor, I don't know whether I can do it. I'm in a marriage and I'm not really happy. It's not easy. Pastor, what are you asking us to do? I'm asking you to be obedient to the world, to the Word. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question, ladies that are married. Is that optional? Is it optional? If you love Christ, what is your heart's desire going to be? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, it didn't say there if he deserves it. A long time ago, Cheryl said, you don't deserve this, but... Men, have we deserved it oftentimes? Aren't you glad the Bible didn't say if he deserves it? The Bible said respect and love, care for your husband, respect him and honor him, because God said so. Not because he deserves it or doesn't deserve it. I've treated Miss Cheryl sometimes in a way that ought not to be treated. And there has to be forgiveness. That's the life between two sinners, isn't it? Two sinners trying to live together in God's commands. There has to be forgiveness. And what other way can we live in the light of being sinners other than through the gospel of Jesus Christ and His mercy? What other way can the marriage relationship be lived in a way that's pleasing to God other than through Christ? Can I conclude with that question on this Mother's Day? What other way can those relationships be brought together in a way that deals with sinners in such a way that they are forgiven and that they bear an understanding of what their relationship with their spouse is or their family? Is there any other way than through the gospel? I don't see any other way than those relationships being honored than through coming to Christ and living for Christ and living in the light of His gospel and His mercy. And I encourage you to think through that. And for you as Christians who, I want you to know that we're already down the road on dealing with all these issues. It wasn't as though that we've been dealing with this recently. We're already, dear friends, way down the road. And I would just simply say to you as the church that you need to be obedient to Christ and ask Him for grace to live according to His precepts. Husbands, love your wives as what? As Christ loved the church. No matter what the culture's doing, or no matter what anybody else is doing, husbands, what do you need to be doing? Husbands, You need to be loving your wives as Christ loved the church sacrificially and gave Himself for. That's what you can do in this culture today. You can take seriously your marriage relationship. Well, honey, let's get married, and if it don't, work out, we'll just divorce and we'll be okay. Is that right? Let's get married, and if it don't work out, we'll be okay next year. No, my dear friends, because if you just haphazardly go into a marriage that way, you break up the marriage on less than biblical grounds, then you cause her to commit adultery. And you yourself have engaged in an unbiblical divorce. There are consequences. Deep, deep consequences. So, my dear friends, take seriously the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only way of building relationships. If your heart's not right with the Lord this morning, if you know that you've never come to Christ and you've never given your heart to the Lord, I don't care. You know it's between you and the Lord. You know where you are. But I exhort you in the name of Christ to give your heart to the Lord today. And as you give your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done a lot of things wrong. But today, I want my relationship with my husband and my wife to be right. And I primarily want my relationship with you to be right. I don't know how many years I've got left, Lord. But I want you to know that my heart belongs to you. And I trust in you alone for my salvation as offered in the gospel. Forgive me, a sinner, who have abused my relationships. And help me to know better as I move forward in my walk with you. And then, Lord, as I commit my heart to you this day and make this a new day with Christ, Lord, would you please help me love my husband and my wife as I ought to? Lord, give me eyes for them. Help my eyes to quit wandering. Help me to love them with all my heart and as best I know how with your help. And help that relationship that I have with you as a Christian. Lord, would that relationship with you flow over into the way I treat my wife or my husband or my children and those around me. May God be with you that as you soon will stand before the Lord, you will soon stand before the Lord. And may it be that we didn't say, well, Lord, you know, that was a lot of pressure down there. And I know I compromised, but you know, Lord, what could I do? You know, I mean, the pressure was great. The government was coming down, breathing down our necks, and churches were caving in with the gospel. You know, I was just doing what I thought was best. I just went along with the crowd. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. May God have mercy. May God have mercy upon us and give us understanding with regard to marriage and what it's going to cost us. Lonnie, I need forgiveness. I do too. Right? I need forgiveness. I'll ask you one final question. Can God forgive us for our past? That's today. Aren't you glad He loves us? He loved us. He gave Himself for sinners like me who didn't do it right. Many of us act self-righteous. God have mercy on yourself. Amen. He is a God of love, and He loves you, and He does forgive, if you will only ask Him. Will you? Will you? And will you ask Him for help as you live in the future? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your great love and your great mercy. Because we preached a hard sermon, Lord, but we need to know that that there is forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to return unto you, not to be judgmental, Lord, not intentionally to be harsh, because, Lord, we are sinners. There are different classes of sins, and there are different ways, but it is sin against you, and it is serious. Praise God, we have a Savior who has come unto us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord, that there is hope for us. There is hope for our relationships. Work in our hearts and lead us, Lord, and prick our hearts. Help us to take seriously where we are today morally. Help us to protect our marriages and our homes. Help us to that end in Jesus' name. Amen.